the most important person in our Christian heritage. If you take your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 1. I just want to talk this morning a little bit about, first of all, the power of God. And as you take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1, Romans is known as the book of many doctrinal treaties. It covers many of the foundations and basic truths and most essential truths to our Christian faith. But it's more than just truth, it's more than just doctrine, it's the power of God. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16, if you would. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let me just say this. This verse applies to all of us because all of us are at one point or another in this verse. You see, that every single person is either a Jew or a Gentile. But you can be in this verse a second time this morning because you can be one of the ones who believeth this morning. And if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior this morning, if you haven't come to a point where you've believed in Him, that He came to earth and He lived a sinless and perfect life, He died on the cross to pay for your sin, He paid for your sin because He was perfect, and He rose again the third day, all for you, just to pay your sin debt. If you would like to be someone who has believed and who is a believer, you can do that this morning, and it's the best decision you can make in your entire life, and it's the power of God that does that. The power of God is very powerful. In fact, in our teen retreat this week, our theme verse was God is our refuge, and we found that in Psalm 62. In Psalm 62, and there was a verse in that psalm that spoke about the power of God. In fact, it said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongeth to God. There's a lot of power in this world today. There's political power, there's economical power, there's social power, there's power everywhere. Man is looking to gain more and more power, but let me say this, all power belongs to God. So all power that's here on earth is delegated power. It is power that has been given, by God. It's power that God has given. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. God declares multiple times that all power belongs to Him. So if we have any power, if anyone has any power, it's because God has given it to them. Mankind fights for power. Governments, nations, they go to war. Families fight for power. Even sometimes, if we're not careful in our local churches, we can fight for power that's not ours but supposed to be God's. But only God holds all power. The book of Romans, like I said before, is often regarded as the most doctrinal treatise. In other words, it carries a lot of the foundations of our Christian lives, of our churches, how we're supposed to live for God. But it's not just as much about how we know, it's the power that's behind it. It's the power of God. In fact, it's not just Romans that is powerful from the power of God. It's all of Scripture. Take a look in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy Scriptures. Let me just say this morning. God's Word is powerful. God's Word is powerful. I want you to know something. My sermon won't change your life this morning, but God's Word will. God's Word is where the power is from. You know, we don't need more outlines. We don't need more programs. We don't need more ideas or illustrations or life stories. We just need the Word of God this morning. God's Word is powerful. Unfortunately, our world today is always looking for some new thing. They're always looking for the latest technology. They're always looking to buy the best car, the newest phone. What can I get that's better than what I used to have? Let me just say this. The world doesn't need a new thing. It needs the old thing. It needs the Word of God. It needs a fresh Word from God's Word. People don't need something new. They don't need new technology or new ideas. They need the Word of God. The Scriptures are sufficient. That means they suffice. That means they take care of everything that we need. And they cover every area that God intended for them to cover in our lives. We don't need anything new. We just need the Word of God. God's Word is powerful. It changes lives. It changed my life, and I'm sure in some ways it has changed your life. The power of God. God's Word is powerful. Go down to verse 6. It says, talking about Paul's servant being called to be an apostle. In verse 6, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Let me say this. God's Son is powerful. The name of Jesus Christ is powerful. Nobody takes the name of Buddha in vain. Nobody swears by the name Muhammad. Nobody uses anyone else's name as a curse word or slang. Why? Because the devil hates the name of Jesus Christ. The devil hates the name of Jesus Christ, but not only does he hate it, he fears it. He trembles at it. All of hell trembles at the name of Jesus. The Bible says in James 2:19, the devils believe and tremble. The name of Jesus is powerful. In fact, let me just give you an illustration or a story real quick about how powerful the name of Jesus is to the devils, to demons. Brother Deku, our instructor at the Passage Northwest, told us a story one time about how he was, back when he was on the Fiji Islands, they were running a camp for some teens, and one of the teen girls actually became possessed by a demonic figure. And Brother Deku and the other men, the other counselors that were there, were trying to hold down this girl. They were praying for her. They were trying to keep her from causing harm to the other campers. They were trying to protect everyone who was there at that camp. And Brother Deku said, "Who are you?" And all the spirit did, all the evil spirit did inside that girl was just laugh at her, laugh at him. And he didn't give him an answer. And then he tried again. And this time when he tried, he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, who are you?" And at that point, the spirit answered. And the spirit hated the name of Christ. The spirit hated when scripture was read. It hated prayer. Why? Because prayer is powerful. Because God's word is powerful. Because Jesus Christ is powerful. The Son of God is powerful. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved in the name of Jesus. And there's many things that you can preach on in the Bible that are powerful, but nothing compares to the power of preaching on the name of Jesus. Not only is God's word powerful, not only is Jesus Christ, God's Son, powerful, but look again in verse 15. "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." God's word is powerful, God's Son is powerful, and God's gospel is powerful. The gospel is the great transaction that makes the great transformation. It's made the transformation in my life. I was a sinner, and I believed that Jesus Christ died for my sins and that he rose again the third day. He lived a sinless and perfect life, and I trusted in him, and I'm now saved, and I'm on my way to heaven. I pray that all of you are as well. You see, we were once sinners. We were separated from God because of our sin, because God cannot let sin into his kingdom. But Jesus Christ came and paid our sin debt for us. So now that when we believe on him, we can have eternal life and eternal purpose to be more like Jesus Christ, that we too should be called the sons of God. The gospel is powerful. It can take lives and change them. It can bring man back to God. It can work a transformation life. It can bring people out of sin and one day into the presence of God. It brings man back to God. The power of God is something that is just magnificent. And we find in this book of Romans, again, as I mentioned, talking about the doctrinal treaties and how it's important to know the doctrine, but it's important to know the power behind it. The power of God is mentioned at the beginning here of this book and at the end of the book of Romans in chapter 15. And there's a golden line that you can follow in these doctrines about the power of God, but it's important that we understand the power of God. As we go ahead and take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 15, we find where the power of God is mentioned a second time. And this time it's mentioned in a little bit different way. We're talking today about our Christian heritage. We're talking about those who have passed down the Christianity that we believe, who have held on to the faith, who have kept the Word of God, who have gone before us and have followed the Lord. But there's one person who has had more of an impact on our Christian heritage than any other person. Look in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." You see, the greatest person in our Christian heritage today is the Holy Ghost. He is the one who comes and lives inside of us at the moment of salvation. He's the one who fills us, and he's the one who guides us through our Christian life, who helps us to speak to people about Jesus Christ, who helps us to carry on for the Lord. It's him. He's the greatest part of our Christian heritage. And you see, we need the Holy Ghost, because if we know all these things in the book of Romans, that doesn't do us any good if we don't have the power to receive it and to deliver it. And this is God saying, not only do I want you to believe the right thing, I want you to have the power of God when you receive it and deliver it. And the source of this power in our lives, the source of where it comes from, is through the Holy Ghost. And that's the person that I'd like to talk to you about this morning, is the person of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, our greatest heritage, the Holy Ghost. You see, as we read in this passage, we find in verse 13, if you have a pen and you like to mark things in your Bible, you can mark in verse 13, through the power of the Holy Ghost. We find again in verse 16, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And then again in verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, as we take a look at this verse in verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders, often men sometimes they interpret Scripture like a pendulum, something that swings back and forth one way or the other. And some men fall short, and other men swing it too far. You see, the mighty signs and wonders of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, today, a lot of Christians don't understand the work of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand what His work is today. And while we believe that the apostolic signs and wonders from the book of Acts have ceased, we often don't give enough credit to the Holy Spirit and what His work is today in our hearts and lives. The signs are not the same, but the Spirit still is. The Holy Spirit does not work through signs and wonders today, but He still works. Let me just say this real quick. If I'm up here preaching and the Holy Spirit's not at work, I'm just blowing smoke. If we're not here and the Holy Spirit of God is not with us, we're wasting our time. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who makes the difference. He's the one who comes and lives inside you. When He comes and lives inside you, He comes and He moves in permanently. He doesn't rent. He buys out. And when He comes, He brings all of His furniture, His own furniture, and He sets up the greatest remodeling project that has ever been done in the history of the world. He changes us to make us more like Christ. He's the one who changes our hearts. Let's talk more about His work specifically. Hold your place here in Romans 15 and turn, if you would, to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, talking more about the work of the Holy Spirit and what he does in our hearts and lives today. John chapter 16 and verse 7, this is Jesus speaking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Comforter being the Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. You see, the Holy Spirit's work today is He comes into the world, and He reproves the world of sin. He works in lost men's lives to bring them to Jesus. None of us could know who Jesus Christ is if it weren't for the Holy Spirit. None of us could know Him. None of us could understand salvation if it weren't for His work. People look for signs and wonders today. They look for the great speaking in tongues. They look for people who can't walk to be made to walk again. They look for the blind to see. But there's not a greater miracle than the Holy Spirit, than the Holy Spirit does to bring a lost person who was without God, who was lost in their sins, to bring a lost person back into the sheepfold of God's pasture. That is the greatest miracle. That is the miracle that the Holy Spirit does today. He does it in lost men. Not only does He save the lost and reprove the world of sins, but look, He guides us as His children into righteousness, into truth. Verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. I've begun recently to take a journal and a little notebook I have, and I've taken this journal, and what I've titled it is Thoughts and Guidings that the Holy Spirit is giving me. You see, the Holy Spirit of God, He speaks to you. And this isn't something spooky. This is truly where you can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and He'll give you thoughts. He'll give you thoughts about His Word. There have been times in my life I can testify where the Holy Spirit has given me a thought, and I later found the same thought backing that line up in Scripture. And it wasn't something that I thought of. It was just something I was praying about, and God spoke to me. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to me. And when He speaks to us, we need to remember it. New believers, another example. There was a guy I led to the Lord this past summer. His name was Mark. And Mark, he was a veteran. He was deployed in Iraq after 9/11. He served our country. He did a great thing. And when I met him door knocking one day, and I asked him if he believed in God. And he said, oh yeah, I believe in God. And I said, why is it? He's like, I've seen too much to not believe in God. And I was like, well, how would you like to know Him? And I gave Mark the gospel. And Mark, he was a veteran. He's living now off of military retirement. He doesn't really have to work or anything. He's well taken care of. The Lord's taking care of him. But the lifestyle he was living, he would go to the bar, he would drink, he had tattoos all up and down his body. And I'm not judging him or condemning him for it, neither is the Lord. I'm just trying to explain to you. He would cuss the way he would talk. He'd make inappropriate jokes. But when I led him to the Lord, new believers, though, there were things that I noticed that he began to change. He came to church the next Sunday and he said, I want to stop cussing. I said, really, Mark, what made you say that? And he said, I don't know. It's just something's telling me I need to quit cussing. The next Sunday, he came and he said, I'm going to stop going to the bar. I want to stop drinking. I said, well, why is that, Mark? He said, I don't know. I just feel like it's what God wants me to do. The Holy Spirit was working in his heart and life. The Holy Spirit is real. It was changing that man's life. And God's Holy Spirit desires to do the same work in us to make us more like Jesus Christ today. Let me ask you this question. If we have the Holy Spirit, if we have that, which brings all of God's resources and power to us, living inside of us, the Holy Spirit, why does it seem like there's so little working of the Holy Spirit power today? Is it because he's lost his power? Is it because he's no longer working? Or is it because we've tried to figure out how to live without him? You see, we need the Holy Spirit of God. I remember my first sermon that I preached. I was dreading it. I was a 16-year-old boy, and I was called upon to preach for a fifth Sunday service at my home church. They were letting the youth group run the entire service that night, and I had to preach about a 5 or 10 minute message, and I was just worried about it. I was worried, am I going to look professional? Am I going to have a good outline? Am I going to say all the right things? But when I got up and started preaching behind the pulpit that day, it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking, not only through me, but to me as well. And you see, it's the Holy Spirit of God that makes it meaningful. If we're not careful, we can become too professional about living the Christian life and looking the right way on the outside and putting on all the right clothes on our religious flesh and carrying around our Bible. We must be careful that we let the Spirit of God work inside of us, and then all the outside things will take care of themselves. God, the Holy Spirit, will make a change in our lives today. The Apostle Paul is another example. Think about the Apostle Paul, who he was when the Lord Jesus found him. He was Saul. What does the word Saul mean? Saul is a word that means high, mighty, lifted up. It was a higher person. Think about Old Testament Saul. He was head and shoulders above everybody. What does Paul mean? Paul means little one, small one. You see, the Apostle Paul, or the man Saul, he had all the education that anyone could have had back in that day. He was Roman and he was Jewish. He had the best of both worlds of the empires that were going on, the ruling powers that day. He had the best education, the best resources, the best everything. But you see, when God found Saul, turned him into Paul. He became Paul. He became little. Why? Because all the education, all those other things didn't matter. Once the Holy Spirit found Saul and changed him into Paul, it wasn't about who Saul or Paul was anymore. It was about who God was. Paul was the small one. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, had to be the big one in his life. And the Holy Spirit desires to do that work in our hearts and lives today. Turn back, if you would, back to Romans chapter 15. And I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and the work he desires to do in you today. The greatest heritage of the greatest person in our Christian heritage and his desire for each one of our lives today. Let's read in verse 13. Now, let me just stop on that word. Aren't you thankful that God works in the present? Aren't you thankful God is still at work now? Now the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing. See, the Holy Spirit of God desires to fill you today, and you have all of Him. You have all of Him when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. At that moment, all the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, but talking about filling is letting Him have control. Are you a Spirit-filled Christian today? Does the filling of the Holy Spirit work in your heart and life? Not to make us look good, but to make us more like Jesus Christ. And this is not just for the preacher. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for when we're at church on Sunday. The filling of the Holy Spirit is something that we need every day, every part of our life. The filling of the Holy Spirit, it gives us hope, joy, and peace. It says, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. Holy Spirit gives us hope. The God of hope gives us hope through His Holy Spirit. And let me just say this real quick. It takes faith. Look at those two words, in believing. You see, we trust Christ by faith. And then guess what? The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. We must have faith in the Holy Spirit. We must have faith that He's there, because He is. And He wants to do a work in our hearts and lives. He wants to do a work in the individual believer. That's what this verse is talking about, the filling of the individual believer. The Holy Spirit of God wants to fill you. Secondly, we notice the Holy Spirit of God in verse 14. And I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. So we go from the filling of the Holy Spirit in the individual believer to being full of goodness and filled with knowledge, talking about the brethren. This is for the church. This is the filling that the Holy Spirit desires to do in the body as a whole, in all of us together, filling us with goodness and with knowledge. You see, able to admonish one another. When you come to church, you should be coming to admonish one another and to exhort people to show goodness. And notice the order here that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this in. He said, full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. What comes before knowledge? Goodness. Goodness. God desires that you are good before you know a lot. You see, God cares more about who you are than what you know. God cares about us being good. He wants us to be full of goodness. That word goodness is another word that is used for kindness in Paul's day. That's what that word was used for. It's love, kindness, charity. You know, what has happened to the love of God in our churches today? What has happened to the love of God? We're more worried about how much we know than how much we care. But what happens if we don't have love? Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Love chapter. I must hurry here. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Look down to verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish. Back to Romans chapter 15. God wants us to be full of goodness before we're full of knowledge, people. God wants us to have His love abounding in us. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit seeks to bring us together in fellowship and in goodness so that we can learn more. But the point is that we should be a loving people. God's people should be a loving people, not judging one another, but loving one another, able to admonish one another. The next thing we find is the flow of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in my mind because of the grace that is given to me that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. You see, the flow of the Holy Spirit, you know what it is? It's telling others about Jesus Christ. It's giving the gospel that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, that I should be the servant of Christ, that I should tell him about Jesus Christ and the gospel and what He has done for us. That's what God's great plan and purpose is for His church, that we go and we take the gospel into the world. But guess what? The power that we have to be able to do that is through the Holy Spirit. You see, if we have the Holy Spirit living in us like we ought and we're giving Him control like we should, we won't have to tell people about Jesus Christ. We'll want to tell people about Jesus Christ. The real question is today, are we surrendered? Are we surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Are we letting Him have the rule and the reign in us that He desires to have? Are we letting Him have control of our lives? Are we surrendering? He's there. He wants to work. He's the greatest part of our Christian heritage. He's been there since the beginning of the church, since the beginning of time and the start of the church till very present and still will be in all of eternity. He is the greatest part of our Christian heritage and He's a part of us. He wants to be more and more a part of you, but you must surrender and let Him have control. Not only do we see the filling of the Spirit and being full of the goodness of the Spirit with the knowledge of the Spirit, we see the flow of the Spirit in ministering the gospel, but the last thing we see is the force of the Holy Ghost. Look in verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. That word fully there was the word that was used the same way that the word fully was used for nets with fishermen and how the nets were full of fishes. See, I like this play on words here because God desires that we fully preach the gospel to every person. He said He'll make us fishers of men. Let's throw out the net so that it's full, so that we catch all the fish, so that we tell all the people about Jesus Christ. It says here that Paul preached the gospel by the power of the Spirit of God from Jerusalem to Illyricum. Jerusalem to Illyricum is about 1,400 miles. It's about the distance from Seattle to San Diego. And Paul, through the power of the Spirit of God, was able to preach the gospel to all those people. You see, the gospel, talking about this region, can reach an entire region. The force of the Holy Ghost can reach all people. It can reach all regions. It can reach the Northwest. It can reach the surrounding area here of Liberty Lake Baptist Church. It can reach the whole world. But we have to let God flow through us. We have to let the Holy Spirit force that drives us, that makes us more like Jesus Christ. We have to let God have control so that we take the gospel as far as we ought, like we should. If God can help one person, He can help them all. He can help all of them. But we have to let God choose us to work through us, and we have to surrender. So my question for you this morning is, will you surrender to the Holy Ghost? If you're saved, you have Him this morning. But will you surrender to Him to let him fill you, let Him fill you with goodness and knowledge, to let Him flow through you, to let the force of the Holy Spirit flow out of you to take the gospel to other people? Will you let Him change your life so that you want to tell people about Jesus Christ and not so you have to? This is the power of the Holy Ghost. This is our greatest heritage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to preach. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I love Him. And Lord, I thank You that He's coming to me, and I thank You that I have Him. I have all of Him. And Holy Ghost, I thank You for the work that You've done in my life in changing my heart and growing me. Lord, I thank You for the work that You desire to do in each one of us, Lord, to take the gospel further, to tell more people about Jesus Christ. Lord, You're at work in the hearts of lost souls today. Lord, our world is a very dark place full of chaos and emptiness, but in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "The Spirit of God hovered over the waters when the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep." Holy Spirit of God, You do Your greatest work in the darkest of times. And Lord, our country is in a dark time right now. I pray that You would do a work in our country and in the hearts of our people, that we would let You work and tell others about Jesus Christ. Help us to be surrendered this day, Lord. Help us to yield to You, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have a time of invitation right now. If you have your hymn books, please stand. We'll turn to page 168. Has God spoken to you this morning? Has God spoken to you this morning? Perhaps He's spoken to you about salvation. The first thing I touched on was the power of the gospel. And you can't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you until you are one of His, until you're one of God's. Perhaps you need to come and get saved this morning. You need to come and trust Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for your sin that He made for you on the cross. Perhaps you need to come forward and trust Him. Perhaps you'd like to come and thank God today for the Holy Spirit that He's given you. Thank God for allowing the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Thank the Lord for saving you. Perhaps this morning you need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. You need to yield to His control and let Him have His way in your life. Perhaps you need more help from the Holy Spirit to take the gospel to someone else, a lost friend, a lost family member, whatever it may be. You need the Holy Spirit's help, and you'd like to come and do business with God. You'd like to come and kneel here. Come and do it at this time. Just leave your place as we begin to sing 168, Spirit of the Living God.